Hello, Suns fans, and welcome to this week's Shining Blight episode. It's a surprise we've been back for a third week, but it's good to be here. I'm Kieran Turner, and as always, joined by the Suns General Manager of Communications, Stephen Wilson. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Kieran. Thank you very much.
And football legend, Malcolm Blight.
Kieran and Stephen, hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Malcolm. You sound a little bit croaky there.
Yeah, and I am. Why are we doing this Tuesday? Can I just ask the question? I've forgotten why we're here Tuesday.
Kieran and I have got a leadership course on Thursday, but we also thought we'd bring the breaking news on Jagger O'Meara and have a bit of a chat about that as well.
Oh, look, thank you. But leadership courses, what will you be leading?
Well, I'll be leading the team that I've got here, and Kieran will be leading his team. And
not a horseback in from a Melbourne Cup or anything like that.
I'd be pleased to do that again, Malcolm. We can talk about that in the next couple of weeks.
Now, listen, actually, for everybody out there, I have just come off a bit of a sneezing attack. Now, I met a lovely couple some time ago, and a friend of a friend, and they've given me some drops. Now, for those out there, I've tried everything for hay fever. Springtime in Melbourne, you know, there's footy in Adelaide, even on the Gold Coast. Sneezing season. I've tried everything over the years. I've tried lavender drops with lemon drops and peppermint drops. And I thought after 3 days, this young lady, Katie, had given it to me. I thought I'd solved it, but guess what? This afternoon, going for a little walk among the Glades Golf Club, I got sneezing attack again. So anyone out there, have you got a cure for sneezing? By the way, Kieran, Stephen, have you?
I haven't experienced it too much up here. It's definitely something that's worse down in Melbourne, I've found, but no cure. The nasal spray works okay, I think. That sometimes helped me out, but
I think
we'll have to ask the fans. We'll put the question out there for you, Blighty.
Stephen, this is the most breaking news I want to know. I want to know about sneezing.
I've got nothing for you.
Thanks.
I'm pretty good with all that, so
don't
have to worry about it.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
But we'll ask the fans on that one. But the other breaking news today, Jagger O'Meara.
Probably the bigger breaking news, too,
really?
Karen, I would have thought. Yeah.
What? Jagger's going to Hawthorn? We didn't know that, did we? You told me 3 weeks ago he'd go there.
Just 3 weeks ago, was it?
Just three weeks ago you said Jagger'd go there. Now, listen, righto, we've got to do a deal with him, don't we? Marcus Ashcroft and Scotty and the list managers. Right, this is what we want. This is the request. All yous out there, we want Rioli, Bruce and Gunston just to help Tommy Lynch in the forward line. We want first pick also this year, and we want first pick next year, and we'll get the job done. That'll be great, wouldn't it?
That sounds fair.
Malcolm, I reckon that would be fair.
So we spoke to Marcus earlier, and he gave this statement.
Today, we were advised from the Hawthorn Football Club and Jagger's management that the Hawks is Jagger's club of choice. As has been previously stated, Jagger is on the market to a club that can provide us compensation we are prepared to accept.
Is he going there at the right time, Stephen?
Oh, that's a good question, Malcolm. Don't know. He clearly thinks so. But that probably doesn't really matter for us. He's on the trade table, and an appropriate deal will need to be done for him to get there. So we just need to look forward to that in the trade period.
Now, I read just recently, Gary Buchanan, the great Hawthorn player, who was their list manager, said, and this is roughly what he said. He said that, I don't think Jagger, because I did my patella tendon, just like Jagger did, and I was never the same and never any good anymore. So he said that Jagger should only be worth one first-round pick, where lots of stories have been two first-round picks. Your comment.
Where did he used to work and play?
Hawthorn Football Club. Strange about that, isn't it?
But anyway, what do you think he's worth? I know we had a bit of a joke before, but it's probably hard to pick out some players.
Yeah,
I
think it probably what the club needs is probably a player of some sort, of some note. Obviously a midfield player, so they're going to have to unload someone. They've got the three oldies, which they've re-signed. It's an interesting time for Hawthorn. I mean, they're right in the mix again this year, as we know. But I think going forward, they're getting older.
Clearly, the jungle drums have been beating on this for a little while, and I think Jay Clark put up a tweet today that he wrote the story back in March that O'Meara was going to Hawthorn. So it seems like it's been in the plan for a little while down there at Hawthorn. So you would think they'd have something in their mind of what they can actually do to get the job done, wouldn't you?
And there have been a few names mentioned, so Sicily, Hartung, Langford, those sort of fringe players that are in and out of the 22, they have been sort of floated around as potential options for the Suns if they do want to get a deal done that way. Blighty, do you think any of those players would fill a need up here at the Gold Coast?
I actually like Sicily. Sicily's marking. You know, we sort of haven't got one of those players, have we? Perhaps if Jack Martin was there, we'd have that sort of player. But we haven't got that sort of medium to tall player that marks in the air. A bit like a Gunston and a Sicily. Those two would do.
Would you send him to the pre-season draft if you couldn't get a deal done, or do you think it's imperative that the club does?
Look, I think it's fascinating all that. You have to go back a fair way, and I haven't read much on it, but I remember Nick Stevens went that way, and he ended up at Carlton, and Port Adelaide won a premiership while he was there. So it doesn't, it's not the panacea to getting everything, but it's a statement from a club point of view. But I think you try and get the deal done, don't you?
I think we spoke about it too a couple of weeks ago now in the first show, that the Chris Judd deal and who won out of that with Kennedy. So, you know, the immediate thought is it's bad news for the Suns, but you can always come out a winner down the track.
Look, and this is people will remember this maybe, that, you know, some older players went at Adelaide Crows when I first went there, and it opened up the door for blokes like Ricciuto, McLeod, Simon Goodwin, Tyson Edwards, that would just blossom when the older blokes had left. So, yeah, it's never all doom and gloom. I mean, it's never always great either, but it's not doom and gloom.
Mm. And for Rocket, it's probably interesting too, because he's been here 2 years and never coached him. So it's someone that Rocket's never had at his disposal either.
That's true too.
So, Bloody, what are your thoughts on players these days nominating their club? It seems like it's becoming more and more common practice.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And I think, it's only a reflection of society. Don't we make a choice as people to change jobs or change our roles? And I think football now, because it is full-time, it's not part-time like when I was doing it. So I think that they probably have the choice. You sign a contract for 3 years, you do your 3 years, and then you decide what you want to do. You would like to think that if we had a better club at the moment, better winning club, that the culture would change. Now, we all know why we haven't, with, you know, with 6 knee injuries to players. So, look, it is what it is, and you just get on with it, I reckon.
Interesting with free agency as well. If you had been a free agent, because he's not yet, because he hasn't played long enough, you would say he'd be in there as a restricted free agent, and we probably could have matched any bid possible. So he's actually probably got a little bit more power not being a free agent than being a free agent.
Yeah, he's also coming off a pretty horrific injury too. So, I mean, we all know, you know, I think we all like Jager. We're disappointed he's going, disappointed as hell, but, you know, you wish the young lad well.
And it's obviously going to play out over the next few weeks. Probably looking ahead to the draft, potential draft picks there. I caught up with Andrew Raines earlier this morning, and this is what he had to say about the academy boys that are preparing for that that draft.
Yeah, so everything's dialing down from an AFL point of view, but the academy keep pushing through. So I've got five guys nominated for either state screening or a national combine, which is obviously the draft camp in Melbourne. And we keep training them all the way up to the first week of October, which is after the grand final. It starts on the Thursday, and it'll go through for about 3-4 days, and they test them pretty much based on their athleticism, mental tests, and obviously the skill component. So we're training sort of four times a week in the afternoons and some morning sessions just to keep them fit. They've already got a pretty good base throughout the footy season with their fitness, but just training them up in a few areas they can impress.
Oh, look, yeah, I mean, the combine and I suppose the draft as a group has been around for quite some time, but looking at the academy players and what's the sort of points you have to pay from, you know, this is where list managers now have got this whole new system to confuse everyone in football, including me, of how many points you need and how many people bid for you and all that. But, I mean, there is a system. Everyone's agreed to it. So I just reckon you'll let it go through. And we've got a couple of nice young players coming through. So hopefully we can end up with them.
From the coach's point of view, what are you looking at this time of year for those potential draftees?
It's probably, I mean, from a coaching point of view, it is so difficult to look at all the kids. You can't. That's why you have list managers and recruiters. I mean, when you're coaching, you've got to do your role with the team you've got. This is where you've got to trust the people like Scotty Clayton and Dom and all those people involved, that they pick out these youngsters and compare them. They've got 10, 15, 20 years of knowledge comparing. I can compare someone at the AFL level. In fact, I reckon I'm not bad at it. But comparing kids, you know, I just haven't got the information available.
So list managers obviously have more of a say than senior coaches out there.
Mate, they have 100% say, and that's what they should do. That's their role.
What it is, though, Blighty, it's really good for the Gold Coast Suns Academy to have so many players coming through. Credit to Jason Tawney and Andrew Raines. A lot of work's been spent on this for probably a five-year period, and this is the first big crop of talented players we've got coming through.
Yeah, look, it is. And I mean, you can ask anyone, including Eddie McGuire in Melbourne and a lot of other people, you know, why have we got the academies? Well, perhaps this is one of the reasons that you can actually spend a bit of time on kids from Cairns and Cape York all the way up the top. We've got the least number of people spread over the biggest area compared to the other academies in the northern states. And, of course, the other thing we don't have is father and son. So, you know, and Collingwood get that and all those other clubs. So, look, I think it's just good for footy. The point system's in now. It's probably fair. But yeah, I think it's a winner.
One of the things you just mentioned then was Cairns, and Jack Bowes is going to represent the club or the club's academy down there at Melbourne, Punt Road, Grand Final Eve in the under-18s game. But even more exciting is we've got three boys in the under-17s game, Grand Final curtain raiser, Crosley, Symington, and Boki, who's a multicultural kid from up north, comes from Ghana. Do you know much about him?
No, because of that very reason. No, Jack, because he's been in the system. But as the kids come into it, the 16s, they said, look like a pretty good group, which ends up being the 17s. So you just take your words from what, you know, Jason Tawney and Andrew Raines have said, and they said, look, I think we've got some good ones coming.
Last week, big week in finals, AFL football.
Are we getting back onto this, are we?
We are.
Okay, let's go. Come on, how do we go? How many wins do you get, Stephen?
I think I got two by the book, but I'm putting my hand up for a third.
Why?
Because I think you and I agreed that the Hawthorn-Geelong game was toss of the coin. And yes, I think a kick after the siren is sort of as close to toss of the coin.
So there's points for that.
Oh, okay. So you've got to count the scoreboard before the game's over.
We agreed. Is that what we're going to do? We agreed beforehand that it was going to be, who knows. I took one, you took the other, and after the siren, you didn't
confident.
Know.
No, I was confident Geelong would win. I mean, I think that's a win for me. That's a loss for you. Come on, grow up. This is serious stuff here. We're 2-2. Now, we both missed on the Western Bulldogs.
Terrific
so
win.
So did 25 million other people living in Australia, whoever cared about it. How could they win up? That was an amazing victory. And I did say last week, I remember clearly saying that Luke Beveridge would know about the five he put in and five out, that you can't beat talent. When in doubt, go for talent. And I think he went for that. He's learnt something out of that, and hopefully they can go on a bit.
They were a very exciting proposition over there in the West. Nobody picked them, as you said. And this Friday night, they'll take on last year's premiers, the last three premiers, Hawthorn at the MCG.
It's a scary game, isn't it? It's a scary game for the Hawks. I think I'll probably still favour Hawks because of their history, but I'm not certain as I would have been 2 weeks ago. I think the Bulldogs have got a bit of mystery about them, you know, and, geez, can't they crack in? They have a fair income go. So, I'll still go for the Hawks. What will you do?
I think I'll stick with the Hawks.
Yeah.
Mainly because if Isaac Smith had kicked that goal, everyone would be talking about, Hawthorn, they always just find a way. But because he missed, they're a bit shaky. So I'll stick with the Hawks. They've done it for so long over a long period of time. But the Bulldogs...
Are you having a dollar each
no,
way
I'm
again,
not,
are
I'm
you?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to ask you the question about...
Yeah.
A lot of times people say, they played their grand final last week. Could that be a case for the Dogs? Was that their big game? And can there be a letdown? You have been there so many times before. Can that happen?
I'm sure it can, but I think that one of the things that also when you get on a roll, you know, you can actually, you know, the adrenaline rush within inside a footy club gets massive. And after sort of being involved, I looked at 45 finals, you know, 22 as a player and 23 as a coach. It's a lot of finals, isn't it? And the adrenaline does rush. There's no doubt about it. But I also agree sometimes that it can run out pretty quickly.
I'm going to disagree with both of you.
Good on you.
I'm going to have an opinion this week. I think the Western Bulldogs...
Who asked you for an opinion?
You're not...
Gee, where did you come from?
I'm the host of the show, mate, so I'm going to give one. I think the Western Bulldogs, Bontempelli, Stringer, both quiet last week. If they have big games, I think that there are a big chance to get over the Hawks.
Okay, you can join the tipping competition, Kieran. Thanks.
He's two behind, though.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's all right.
Who's the other one? What's
the other
game?
The other game's up in Sydney on Saturday night. Yeah. So the Swans obviously lost to GWS up there at ANZ last week.
Mm.
They take on your old mob, the Crows.
Yeah, I've got a few old mobs. Adelaide were good. We thought North Melbourne were average. You know, their second half of the year has been poor. I picked the Swans at the start of the year. I picked them last week. I mean, as much as I do have a big soft spot for Adelaide, of course, I just think up there, and I'm still guessing, they couldn't play that bad again, I wouldn't have thought. So I think the Swans at home, SCG suits.
I agree, the Swans at home. The smaller ground, will that favour the Swans or more disfavour the Crows with their like to get out the back, the forwards?
Yeah, no, but I reckon it's harder to do up there. And the other thing is, I just felt the tightness last week. Swans overused handball. I've never seen them just, here, you have it, I'm in trouble. I think they're used to quick kicking up there because it gets straight to the goals. Mm. I think they tried to play a bit fancy at ANZ Stadium. It was really unlike them.
Mills out, tip it out. The forward line at the Crows is the best in the game. I'm going to disagree again and say Adelaide are going to sneak an upset.
Just if they did get up Adelaide, is it the first final the Crows would have won in Sydney, or can you remember another one, Mark?
No, I can remember it clearly. When they were coached beautifully in 98, I think Rodney, he was coaching the Swans at the time and just had the team meeting, had all planned, this is true, and after Melbourne had beaten us at the MCG in the first final, so we were losers, went up there. They start a short price favourite. And the skies open up. Absolutely precipitated. I was going to say precipitated down. And I changed everything. I changed
so how long before the game is this?
This is 10 minutes before the game. I called all the players back in and said, no, you know what I said about this, this and this? What we're going to do now is we're going to put the two best kicks kick out and no one handball. And we kick it to Big Rennie, you remember Sean Wren, and you run over the back and cheat a bit. And it, yeah. So we actually had a great win and went on to win the flag from there. So the SCG Adelaide have a very good strike rate there in a final. One for one.
There you go.
One of the talking points over the last couple of weeks is that bye before the finals. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Interesting, isn't it? You know, probably initially everyone said no, and now we, there's a few creeping in saying, well, perhaps it wasn't a bad idea after all. What do you think about if they had the Brownlow medal on, during that week so that all the teams could come in from interstate, which they don't do now?
Yeah, I like the tradition of the Brownlow on the Monday night before the grand final, but I can understand why you would do that or you could do that. All Australian, of course, was the week leading into that bye. Everyone was there for that. I know. I don't think Adam Simpson was too happy that Josh Kennedy had to fly to Melbourne, do an extra trip over there from Perth. But it's interesting because, you know, everyone was against it. People have become, oh,
yeah,
it's not
maybe,
bad.
Maybe, yeah.
I reckon it'll depend how the two sides that won, so the Giants and the Cats go in the prelude. If they both lose, then, you know, everyone might have another opinion on it. But right now, it's probably looking like a good decision.
Can I also say, this is for some, all the history buffs out there, that the first time the Brownlow medal was presented in grand final week was in 1978. Prior to that, for the previous 40-odd years, since its inception in 1925 or 4, was that it was done the Monday after the last game. So it's only been a less than 40-year thing.
Who won it that year?
Oh, I can't remember now. Oh, no, yes, it was a bloke from North Melbourne, blonde-headed. Nice player, actually, nice bloke. Oh, of course it was me.
One of the success stories of last week's finals was the GWS Giants. They surprised a lot of people with their convincing win over Sydney, and it's great to see an expansion club having that success.
Look, it is, and we're often compared with them, and that's fair enough, but if you look at the setup rules and what actually happened and who drafted and how many more they got than the Gold Coast Suns, the two setups have been different. Everyone, because you come 12 months apart, everyone says you're the same. Well, you're not. We know that from internally. However, it is great to see a young footy club that didn't have six knee injuries to their midfield as well, besides all the draws and all the rules, to actually have a crack and win. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, it is. And we look back and obviously done a lot of work here with the Gold Coast Suns and how the community gets amongst the team. To see the stadium with a lot of orange in it was you know, really good to see, but I must admit, you're a little bit envious of seeing the Giants down there going well, but good luck to them. And you know, they've got a real opportunity now hosting a final at Spotless, prelim, to get into the grand final. So, you know,
are they going to put the ticket prices up on that, Stephen? You're usually across all that. 24,000, I think it seats, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You think they could get more than that? But I mean,
Where should they play? Where do you think they should play?
Oh, it's a really good question. I thought the whole idea of home final was home state. Now, you can have the argument, why don't Geelong play down there? You know, I thought the AFL's responsibility was to maximise the game. So to maximise the game, that means as many people as possible to get to it.
So you're saying that should be at ANZ?
Yeah, well, that's what I do.
Hawthorn, obviously, a chance to meet them in that prelim. They've got 72,000 members. How do you think they're going to feel if they get turned away?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting one. Hawthorn, you know, been to finals so much over the last few years. Well, how many of their fans will travel up to Sydney? But you'd like to think that there'd be more than probably 24,000, so it'll be interesting. The atmosphere will be enormous.
Enormous, that's one thing. I get the whole idea of it, but I would have thought to maximise the number of people at the game was the aim of the AFL Commission, and I don't think they're doing that.
So, you know, down the track, where we would like to be in a prelim final, where do you think that should be played then?
Well, that's an interesting question. To maximise Queensland, I'd say at the moment, Metricon, because that's about all you'd get. We're having trouble filling it with dogs and chooks and cows. But, you know, somewhere down the track, it's an interesting debate. Should it be at the biggest ground? Should it be at the Gabba? You know what I mean? Just to maximise the crowd.
See, I think the Gold Coast people would not respond very well to that at all. And maybe that's the difference in different cities and different regions.
Yeah, you could be right.
where Sydney's the one sort of...
be a nice problem to have.
It would be, yeah. It'd be really good to be dealing with that this week.
A lot of Giants supporters obviously come from around the city, and makes it a bit easier for them if it is ours, but we don't play up in Brisbane apart from that one away game each year, so it's hard to say that we should be playing a home final at the Gabba when we don't even play there as a whole as anyway, so... interesting one.
Provocative question, Kieran. That's one of the great ones, Stephen, isn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So last Thursday night, now over in the West, Dennis Cometti was widely celebrated. It's his last year. He's hanging up the microphone at the end of 2016. Blighty, can you give us a little bit of insight into Dennis and some of your dealings with him?
Yeah, he's obviously been an icon, hasn't he? Probably him and Bruce McAvaney, you know, Sandy Robson. There's been a lot of icons. And I actually did work with him at Channel 7 going back in 1980, a lot of years ago. And I actually stayed at his place, actually, in Perth one particular time. And we went and played a bit of a game of golf. I was starting to play it. He was trying to play it. And we had this great par three with a big gully in the middle of it. I remember he took a fine 13 shots to finish his par three. I just missed the hole in one and had a fine three myself. But he was a terrific fella. And I suppose his little quips. And also one time he was doing a game. We were doing a game in Adelaide. Remember it clearly. And Dennis would have 10 or 15 lines. You know those lines he'd
prepared,
pull out?
Yeah.
He'd prepare them. So anyhow, sort of 5-10 minutes into the first quarter, I've looked at his sheet and I've pinched his first line. He nearly cried. You can't do that, he said. You can't pinch my lines. But he did. He had a lot of preparation and a great bloke.
Yeah, Cometti-isms, they're calling them.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite that you remember?
I think it's always the original is the best. Centimetre perfect is perfect. Mm. Why shouldn't he use that and why couldn't he claim it? I mean, I think that's still his best.
When I was doing my research early in the week about this one, we found an interesting fact about your commentary debut, Blighty, down at Waverley Park. Do you remember much about that one?
It would have been brilliant. No, sorry, I shouldn't say that. No.
That was your hosting debut.
When I first did the hosting. Mm. Oh, yes, lights out at Waverley. Yeah, Essendon playing
Saints,
that's right. And 21 minutes into the second quarter, or third quarter, that's right, and the lights went out. It was a car accident, which I actually sat there and we filled about 50-odd minutes before the decision was made. And I actually said, it probably was a car accident, which was terrible. But at that particular time, I had a spare lighter in my pocket. And I can't imagine why I had a lighter in my pocket in those days. But I remember crossing back and saying, going downstairs to Andrew, whoever was in charge. Andrew Dimitro was the player's boss. No, who was the boss at the time then? I was just trying to think who it was now.
Ross Oakley, was it?
Right, might have been Ross. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyhow. So I crossed down. I'll think of it in a minute. I crossed down, of course, and to do it, I flicked my lighter so the TV could pick me up because we had no lights up there. And it actually went worldwide. You know, they talk about all these Snapchats and Instagrams you've got now. I went worldwide all those years ago. Wow.
We might put that back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if we can find it. Some questions from the fans now. Blighty, who do you think is the best option for the 2017 captaincy?
Oh, very excellent question. Excellent question. I think it's one of those things I would suggest that probably the football department would sit down with Gary Ablett first, see what he feels, what he says or does, and whatever the conversation goes from there, then you would actually go to, obviously, Tom Lynch and Stephen May. I think that's a given. You know, now that Dion's gone and da-da-da-da-da and all that, they're the two that, you know, really have emerged as great leaders.
Has your opinion changed considering the last 6 or 8 weeks when they were co-captains?
Yes. I'm not going to speak for Gary any better else, but I think now might be a great time for Gary to get his body right. You know, he's had a knee, he's had two shoulders. To him, just focus on footy now and just work on his body. I think it'd be a fantastic time, but that's just a personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I'd leave it up to him.
Second question. We want to hear from Blight on a modern-day Blight. Any thoughts on how to improve goal-kicking? It's obviously an issue at some clubs.
Yes.
We might sit down for 5 minutes now, Kieran.
Kieran, this is true. Guy McKenna, in one of my little roles when I was in the football department, was to be coaching advisor, and one of them was to actually try and show blokes how to kick goals. Now, I did it for the first 3 years here. We were a stunning kicking side then. We've dropped off hellishly now. It is. I'll give you the simple philosophy, and this is it for everybody out there. Every kid ever picked up a footy. It is, and I've heard Jason Dunstall say this, and Jason's been a great player and a great forward. Your run line is the most important thing. Where you run, and I always said put your right shoulder on your right post. If anyone's listening out there, all the players have been told this at the Gold Coast Suns. You have a look at every player lining up now. If they run out their 50% chance. They'll either pull it back or cut it off. If they're running straight at the middle of the goals, they've got more of a chance. The second thing is you don't want your arms too tense. Just relax your arms. And the third thing is your guide. You keep your right hand, if you're a right footer, on the ball for as long as you can. So you guide it down, don't drop it. So three things. Your run line, which you start with. If you put your right shoulder on the right post and run at that, you'll run yourself to the middle of the goals. Don't tense in the arms. Just nice and relaxed and guide the ball down. I'm telling you now, you'll become a 7 out of 10 player tomorrow.
Who's our best set shot at goal?
Yeah, I think Jack Martin's pretty good when he has a go. Yeah. I mean, he's very good. Tommy's got better, although he had a bad last game,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah.
But generally, Tommy's got better at it. They're probably the best two. Gary Ablett's the best because he just runs straight at the goals.
So would it be Gaz to have a shot after the siren in a grand final if you had to?
Yeah, that'd do. We'd take that, wouldn't we?
You would.
Yeah. As long as you're only about 3 metres out. Although you can be 75 or 85 metres out and kick goals from a long way out.
Not in a final, though.
It did, but not after the siren.
The last question. Baggy shorts are the current fashion, but any athletes that want to run fast wear skin-tight shorts as they did back in your day. Given the amount of running in the modern-day game, is there any chance for a tight, short comeback?
This is stunning questioning. I hope everyone out there is fascinated by this. I am. I didn't think we'd be talking about what dacks we wore, but this is kind of nice. I kind of like that tighter fit when I was playing. The boys were, as you say, a bit baggier now. You know what? I got a theory. I don't care what you look like or what you wear, long as you can play. So whatever's best that makes him play better, yes, that'll do me.
There you have it. Anyone else with questions for next week, just send them through, digital@goldcoastfc.com.au. That's all the time we have for today.
Before we go, for goodness sake, don't forget about the hay fever feedback.
Yes, you're very important.
The most important thing that we talked about today was how to fix my rotten hay fever and all those other poor sufferers out there. We'll pass on all the remedies.
We'll make sure. We'll get your feedback next week on those remedies and see what actually worked. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks, Blighty.
Stephen, Kieran, thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week.